And thank you for joining us today in downloading the Grace Tabernacle podcast. We invite you to journey with us as we transform our hearts and focus our eyes to worship. It is our hope and prayer that this message will be helpful for achieving the goal of growing closer with Christ. Now let's join in fellowship with a message from our pastor, Gary Washburn.
Amen. So tonight is Empower the Parent Night. So we have students here with their parents, whether that's a mother or a father, or both mother and father, grandparent and uncle, whoever is their guardian. They are representing that family unit tonight. Before, though, we continue, Miguel and I were thinking that it's, although we've shared with a few people that have asked, and obviously Pastor already knows, we thought that we would publicly share what's been happening because this is motive for prayer. And many of you have already so graciously volunteered with your time and your resources. I feel it's only right that you know what's come out of that. So we started the first Saturday of June with the basketball tournament. We had 5 kids show up, okay? But out of those 5 kids, 3 are part of Identity Youth at this time. So it was fruitful. And we started with 4, which was Ashley, Emily Locke, Emily Payne, and Serenity Wilson. Those were the first 4 that started, actually. And we are up to, we have an updated list, we're up to 18. Amen? Praise the Lord. And this is middle school through high school. So middle school is 6th grade. Now, for some, that would be age 11. For some, that would be 12. So we have some 11-year-olds. We have some 12-year-olds. But we're going by the grade. Up until the age of 18 in high school. If they're 18 in college, then they're in the next group, which is college and career. And the cap on there is 25. There, we have about maybe 5 to 7 that have said yes. And hopefully, they can stand, it can become strong enough that from there we could have a singles ministry if they have not yet married. So that would be the goal. It's a little harder there because they're either in college or in career mode. So they're working or in school. So their schedule's a bit tighter and we only meet with them once a month. Up until now, we've met with middle and high school, which is known as Identity Youth. And that was not the name. There was no name. It just stuck. So there it is. We meet with them every Wednesday at 6:30 in the multipurpose room. The theme for the summer has been identity, breaking off those negative labels that people have spoken over their lives, and now releasing that lie of the enemy and receiving the truth of God. Amen? We've done that in different ways. Every Wednesday, there's been a different exercise, whether it's a video and a discussion, prayer stations. We had pizza in the park where we discussed different labels, and they had the freedom to invite a friend because it was in the park. It's easier to bring someone, and we did have a guest at that time. We did a bonfire where we then burned those negative labels, and then they went on and did s'mores. And there's been quite a number of things. The elders and pastor have gotten that schedule. I would like to mention the 18 students, so they're not random names. If you are here, when I call your name, stand up. But obviously, the rest will not be here. Ashley Paredes, Emily Locke, Emily Payne, Olivia Payne. We have Serenity Wilson. Yay. We have Kyron Mays. Yes. Okay, we have Jesse Nickelmeyer, Ethan Orbig, Tayton Beasley, Ariana McCurry, Alexis Birchmore. She just plugged in. She was away over the summer. We have Neva and Dylan. They're siblings. I don't have their last names quite yet. Serena Perez, Luis Jaramillo, and then we have 2 girls that are sisters by last name Johnson. They've plugged in, whether because they've been coming or they haven't come yet, but we've already established relationship with the parents, and the parents have said yes. If the parents say yes, eventually we're gonna make the kid come in, okay? The hardest part is getting the parent to say yes. From the 18 students, 15, 16, 17, from the 18 students, approximately 5 to 7 come from unchurched homes. So there are more challenges there, but all of these parents have said yes. We've established relationship. They feel there's a level of trust there. And the only setback we're having now as we go into the fall is that school has started. Wednesday night is the school night. And most of them do go to a public school where there is no early dismissal, where they don't care if there's church Wednesday and there's tons and tons of homework. And some of these students are athletes and have plugged into sports or clubs. So Pastor Miguel and I have spoken that it is an idea to move our youth night to another night. Not Sunday, because Sunday they're getting ready for Monday. Potentially Friday night. We don't spend more than an hour, hour and a half the most with them, because I feel like if we plan our night, we can make a lot out of an hour and a half. We don't need to keep them all night, especially on a weekend. But I think there will be more flexibility there for most of them to plug in now that school has started. So that's something that we're working on. Please pray that God may lead us in that. Pastor already knows that there's different family situations going on. So we may have some that come regularly on Wednesday but cannot come on a Sunday. But we do have a couple of testimonies that I want to share. The first was that we had the Four Ways to Worship concert. Thank you to everyone who helped in some capacity. We greatly, greatly appreciate it. We had five churches represented, five different ministries, of which four brought their youth ministry with them, and they had their youth leadership with them as well, and they were from different denominations. We had Assembly of God, so we had Pentecostal, we had a Presbyterian church, and the rest were non-denominational. So it was quite interesting, but you know what? There were no barriers. That first song that Grayson sang, Let the Walls Come Down, we just had an awesome time of worship and fellowship. And Pastor was able to share word and the other youth ministers and Pastor Miguel. So I think we all came to an agreement that we should do this again. And since then, we've kept in contact. So we hope that these are churches we can partner with. And when we have an event, they can share with us and we can support them likewise. On that night, there was good ministry time. And one of the kids that did come to the basketball game gave his life to the Lord that night, which is John Tavius. And he would be our oldest member of this group. He's 17. He goes to Wildwood High School and he is a senior. He works and goes to school, and he is the only believer now in his home. But he's very sensitive to the things of Christ. Miguel did meet his father. That's an interesting story. Pastor knows. What's up? What you gonna? You gonna jump me? I have your son here. But hey, that broke the ice. That got them talking. And so we are in contact. So when his schedule allows, he will be here. But we will be speaking to him about baptism. And he does have a Bible on behalf of Grace Tabernacle. If we do change the day to Friday, which seems like very likely, we can't accommodate everyone, but we want to accommodate the majority. Then we have one more Wednesday, and then we'll kick off that Friday with the lock-in. That is Friday, September 1st, starting at 6 p.m. through Saturday, September 2nd, 1 p.m. It will be highly chaperoned by parental chaperone. Well, Miguel will be with the boys. I don't know if there's another gentleman that's going to help you. Right there. Which one? There's two of them. Oh, Coy. And we're happy, Coy, that you're here. And we have a couple of ladies. I think Sandy's still on. Maybe. Yes. Karen Ricci. Where's Karen? She was our chaperone to WonderWorks, and she got on every ride there was there. And then we have Amy Germain. And myself. Just a quick synopsis. I don't want to take much time, but I feel like it's important for you to know, because this is all a matter of prayer. We could plan, we could program, we could do it super fun. If God's not in it, you know, I mean, we want to be organized, we want to plan, we want to have an idea of what we're doing, but God's got to be in the midst of all this. So just to let you know what's going to happen, we're going to start at 6 o'clock. From 6 to 7:30, we're expecting to have a home-cooked meal. Family style. So there, we're going to have a dinner table. Everybody can be in comfortable clothing. They already know the attire that's expected. Nothing fancy, comfortable. But we are going to be sitting around the table. We're going to say grace. Can you please pass the rolls? Can you please? That type of event. And then from 7:30 to 8:30, we're going to have an obstacle course. We're kind of going to focus the night on, now that they've started school, overcoming some challenges. So the obstacle course is twofold. The first, we'll make it fun and have them, the one with the fastest time, to complete the obstacle course. But then we're also going to have someone do it blindfolded while another one gives instructions. So we're going to talk about communication. The fact that you need to listen well, primarily to the Lord's voice. And then those that need to communicate need to use the right verbiage because they can't see you and you can't touch them. It's all strictly verbal. So I think that's going to be fun, but with a point. From 8:30 to 9, we'll have some games. Sister Tasia. She's from College and Career, but she's been assisting us as well as Miss Ricky. Okay. And then from 9 to 9:20, we're going to have some devotional time. Pastor Miguel. 9:20 to 11:20, we're going to do movie with some popcorn. The movie, we have one in mind, I won't say, but it goes in alignment with the theme. 11:20 to 11:40, we'll have some ministry time after the movie. From 11:40 to 1 a.m., we're going to have a do-it-yourself session, Tasia. That's for both boys and girls, so something they both can enjoy. By 1 a.m., we're going to have a late-night hot chocolate. 1:30 to 2 a.m., we're going to separate to dorm areas with chaperones. Girls, we call the multi-purpose room. Boys can have somewhere over there. And they can just hang with their chaperones, play board games, I don't know, put music, dance, whatever you like to do. Girls' time, boys' time. By 2:30 at the latest, we are going to have lights out. We're not going to break night. We're going to have some time to rest. But the reason for that is because by 6:30, 7 a.m., they are to wash up. And by 7:30, we're going to have worship. And then 8:30 to 10, we're going to meet back at the table and have breakfast together. 10 to 11, there will be a team building exercise. One of the things we focus is you're all on the same boat. No one here is better than anyone else, right? You have a strength that she doesn't have, and you have something your sister doesn't, and so forth and so on. So we need to pull on all those strengths to make it happen. By 11 to noon, they're just going to have outdoor activities. We do have the basketball hoops on the concrete slab. I'm just saying, it's out there. I don't know what's going to come out of that, but it's out there. So maybe the boys want to play. We have a net up. The girls can play. We'll do some outdoor activities, get some, what is it, vitamin D? And then from noon to 1, we'll talk to them about the fall schedule. We'll have a survey of how they feel so far with youth ministry. What do they expect in the fall? Any thoughts, suggestions, ideas, recommendations? We'll do cleanup, and they'll be gone. That's Memorial Day weekend. We did it that weekend because since we're taking them Friday and Saturday, that Monday they can have their family time since they're off from school and more than likely parents off from work. Please keep all of that in your prayer. Amen. We did discuss maybe talking about the early church during the fall, what it means to be the church. We're not sure if we're going to go that way yet, but have this in prayer. As a matter of fact, today you will have the opportunity. We have 18 names. We need 18 people to pick a name randomly, whoever comes out. And for the next 30 days, you are to pray for that young person. Amen? Amen. But we're here not to keep talking, rather to encourage these parents that were able to show up tonight. And guess who's going to encourage them? Pastor Gary, come on up.
Well, thank you. He said, first you share. And I'm like, moi? I love family. To me, that was God's amazing idea. He created the family, and he thought it was important to have a family. And whether it's a family with grandparents, whether it's a family with moms and dads, just moms, just dads, it doesn't matter. It's your family. That's who it is. It's your family. And you know, I just look at families today. My heart is so grieved. I mean, I worked in pediatrics for years. And what I saw was so sad. So sad. And I look at these children here today, and all I can say is, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed, you're blessed. You're blessed because your parents care enough to have you here. Your grandparents care enough to have you here. Your aunts, uncle, whoever it is, they care enough to have you here because they know the most important thing in your whole entire life is going to be Jesus and your relationship with him. Because if you don't have that, as you go through this life, it's going to be a horribly hard, difficult road for you. With Jesus, I'm not saying everything's easy, because I'm here to be, I'm proof. It is not easy all the time. But I'm telling you, if I didn't have Jesus, it'd be 100 times more difficult, is all I can say. It would be 100 times more difficult if I did not have him by my side, knowing that he's going to lead me, he's going to direct me, he's got my back, he loves me with an everlasting love. If I didn't have that, that would be very difficult. But because we do have that, your children are blessed. And just the fact that I see spiritual growth in these children already. I mean, I see them growing up in homes, and I see spiritual growth in all of them. And I love it. I love seeing that in children. The younger you can start in that, the better. And so they're going to get a firm foundation, moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas. They're going to get a firm foundation just because you took the time. You took the time, Connie. You and Jean took the time. Amy, you took the time. You took the time. You guys took the time. You took the time. Because of that, these children have a better chance at this life. They have a better chance at this life to be more productive, to be good citizens. Thank God we need some good citizens. As you can see what's going on all over this country, we need some good citizens who love one another and who love the Lord first and who love one another. If you love the Lord first, you're going to love one another. And I don't care if there's a green person sitting next to you. You're going to love the green person. You understand? Because you belong to him. He lives in you, so you love. You love. You are part of love. So you're going to love people. So these children are going to have more of a chance to become good citizens that are going to be productive in our world and help other people come to know Jesus. I mean, what better thing is that? To see your children grow up and they're going to tell their friends. I mean, even at this age, they're going to be telling their friends about Jesus. I mean, how amazing is that? I have to tell you, I remember our daughter, Sarah, when she was little. She was like 5. And there was a guy at our church at First Baptist Leesburg. And he had a little boy. And the little boy was our daughter's age, and they just became little buddies while the guy was there, and they're talking, and you could hear them one day, and it was hysterical, because my daughter, I mean, she was determined to, she asked neighbors, people who would walk by, but she asked that little boy, she said, "Hey, do you have Jesus in your heart?" And he looked at her, and he says, "You know, I do, but I never feel him moving, do you?" I mean, you know how little children are so literal. Everything is so literal. To them, if he's in your heart, you should be feeling something moving around in there. I thought that was the cutest thing, but I remember that. And she was just 5, so I'm just telling you, these children are going to be sharing Christ either with their kindness. To me, that's a way to share Christ, is if you're kind to someone, if you're loving to someone, when other people may not be, that's Jesus through them. And those other people are going to see that in that child. So that's a way to witness, if you do it that way. But God also gave you this amazing thing called a mouth, where I probably use mine too much. But, and I do remember getting that on my report card. All the time, every report card. Pam's a good student, but she just talks too much. So I still do. I understand that. But God gave you this amazing thing right here called a mouth. And you guys, hey, I know I hear you talk to one another. And as long as it's your friend, you feel comfortable and you're just blah, 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 you know. But God's given you that mouth to do more than just talk to your friend. He's given your mouth to talk to other people about Jesus. And don't be afraid. I mean, that's the most important thing that Jesus said. Fear not. Fear not. only believe. So you believe God's word in you is more powerful than anything. So you just say, okay, God, I'm going to do this afraid. Even if you have to do that, you just do it afraid. And you tell someone about Jesus or invite them to church with you. If they're scared, if they're worried about a test, you could say, hey, can I pray for you about that test? Just that right there is an amazing thing. So I know I've probably already talked too much, but I just wanted to encourage parents. You guys, we are so blessed that you have your children here. And I want to thank Miguel and Betsy for taking this on. This is such an important ministry. And they felt impressed with the Lord. They took it on. And I am so blessed by that because look at what we're seeing. Look what we're seeing. So I'm very grateful. So I just want to bless you parents. You're doing a wonderful job. No child comes with instructions. I sure enough wish they would. And that mine would have, because it would have spared a lot of issues if they came with an instruction booklet. But they don't. But God expects us to rely on Him for wisdom and discernment and to know what to do with each child, because every personality is different. You cannot treat all your children the same way, because it's impossible. They are all so different. So they don't come with instruction books. But you are here and you're willing to rely on the Lord. And I thank you for bringing these children here. I thank you, parents. And I just bless you. I bless you.
Hey, I'm not going to keep you long. So just take a deep breath and say, thank God the preacher said that. I do have something for you. I did pray I wrote down some things that I think the Lord wants me to share with you, so I'll do that. I want to, first of all, though, honor Pastor Miguel and Betsy again, and thank you for taking on a job where you really started. Now, here's the scripture for you. Despise not small beginnings. It's good. What you're doing is good. If God's pleased, it doesn't matter whether anybody else is pleased or not. But we're all pleased too. So just, you got both. Thank you. Thank you. And we need to pray for you. Keep praying for them. Encourage them. Afterwards, in a moment, we're going to have prayer for the parents and families here. We want to do that because we feel like that's part of it. I got one word today. When I say one word, I was asking God in prayer. I said, Lord, what do you want me to share? And this one word just kept coming back to me. Home. Home. What is home? It's a place you feel you belong. Everybody needs a home. It doesn't have to be a building. It doesn't have to be a palace. It can be a place you belong. In fact, God wants you to have three homes. He wants you to have a home with your family, even if it's a single parent or you're raised by your grandparents, a place you call home. You feel like, I belong here. This is where I come and I relax. I'm home. You know, there's a smell that you pick up on that it, when you're young, you may not pay attention to it, but when you're older, it'll come back to you. It'll trigger a memory. In your memory, you'll go into a place and you'll have a smell, and you'll say, that reminds me of my grandparents' home, or it reminds me of my mom's home. And because home is a place you belong, a place you relax, a place you feel safe. You feel safe. So God wants you to have three homes. One's your family home. Secondly, He wants you to have a church home. A place you say, that's my church. I belong there. They love me. They pray for me. They've helped me. People there love me and I love them. Church is supposed to be a home. And so you need a family home, you need a church home, and then you need a heavenly home. That is, there needs to be a time in your life where you're born of the Spirit of God. You're born again, where you not just believe in God, but you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And He comes and makes His home in your heart. And when you leave this earth, you have a heavenly home. Three homes you need to have, but quickly. There is no home on planet Earth that doesn't have conflict. So relax. I mean, Pam and I have been in the ministry for 32 years, had two adult children. And man, we had conflict with our kids, both of them. We had conflict with both of them. And there are too many stories I could tell you about that. So we know there are no perfect parents. There are no perfect children. It's on-the-job training. There's no condemnation for anybody. The church ought to be the place where you come and you could get some encouraging words, some wisdom from somebody who's tried this and it didn't work, or tried this and this did work. You know, you don't come here and put on airs like you got it all together. There ain't nobody got it all together except Jesus. The rest of us need him, and we need one another. So you relax with that. But home is a place you need to, we all need to work on making our house here a home, a safe place, a place of good memories, a lot of laughter, and a place to relax. If God would grant me the opportunity to be a parent again, start over with my children, one thing I would say as a piece of advice, encouragement to all of you, don't major on minors. And at the same time, don't make what is minor, don't let what is minor not become something you don't take care of. Three things quickly. In your home, you're going to deal with this. Okay. You're going to deal with anger. Say amen, because it's true. You've already been dealing with it. Okay. Ephesians 4:26 says this: be angry, but sin not. I mean, there are some things that ought to make you angry. There ought to be some things that we ought to get angry at, and we're going to get angry. We're human. We're going to get angry at one another in our marriage. We're going to get angry with our kids. The kids are going to get angry at us. Neighbor's going to get angry with you. Your in-law's going to get angry with you. Outlaw's going to get angry. Everybody's going to get angry at one time or another. But the Bible says be angry, but don't cross the line into sin. Now, we need help with that. We need God's help with that. Because just telling us that ain't going to stop us from doing the wrong thing. We need help coping with stress, because we get angry because things don't go right and we get disappointed. The kids act up and we're embarrassed or whatever it may be. And then we try coping in unhealthy ways, and we need help with help one another, encourage one another. Anger is something we're going to deal with. If you have anger issues, welcome to the human race. But number two, welcome to a place that's willing to help you. I've had anger issues. I know what it's like. I know what it's like to get angry at my kids. I know what it's like to discipline in the wrong way. And I know what's right to discipline the right way. We can help one another. So we're here to help you. Okay. Number two, in your home, we're talking about making your house a home. You're going to have to deal with anger. Number two, you're going to have to learn to communicate in love. Boy, I wish I'd have learned that 32 years ago better. I mean, I wished I knew then what I know now. Learn how to communicate in love. I mean, you have to speak the truth sometimes. But you got to say it in love, and you got to do it in love and not in anger, because it just won't come out right. True story, years ago, a man and a woman just got married. They were newlyweds. This was back in the days when they had a horse and buggy. They didn't have a car. So a man and woman just got married, leaving the church. They're in this horse and their buggy, and they're riding along, you know, and all of a sudden the horse bucked or kicked or something, and the man said, "That's one." And the wife looked at him and thought, "What in the world?" Horse keeps on going on down the road. A few minutes later, it bucks again. He said, "That's two." She looks at him and thinks, going on a little further, the horse bucked again. All of a sudden, he jumped up in a rage, pulled out a .45, and shot the horse in the head. Bam! horse fell over dead. She's screaming and hollering, "What in the world are you doing? What is going on? Are you crazy? What's going on?" He looked at her and said, "That's one." You got to be careful. Learn to communicate in love. You can say things, but you need wisdom in how you say them. One time a man was, he came home to his wife and she was crying and just bawling and just all upset. And he says, "Honey, what's the matter?" She said, "This is the worst meal I've ever made in my life for you." He said, he's trying to console her. He says, "Honey, that's not the worst meal you ever made for me. I mean, I mean, there's a way to say something and there's a way not to say something. We want to speak the truth in love. We got to learn how to do that. That's a skill that we have to learn through maturity. Number three, and finally, we're going to make our house a home. We're going to deal with anger. We've got to learn to communicate in love. And number three, we need a lot of forgiveness. A lot of forgiveness. The Word of God says this in Ephesians 4:32. It says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as Christ has forgiven you." You know, it doesn't take much for me to look at my life and realize how much Christ has forgiven me, even today. I go, wow. And when I think about that, it makes me more tenderhearted and more compassionate toward other people. Just because I know how much He forgives me and He's compassionate and He's kind and gentle with me. I have a couple of regrets in my life, and I know God's forgiven me and all that, but as far as raising my family and so forth, number one regret is I wished I'd have had more children. We had two. Now we got seven grandchildren. That's wonderful. But I wish we'd have had a larger family. I can't do anything about that now, but because I think a larger families, they seem to do better. Well, we really can't do anything about it now. I mean, I hear you cackling, but we really can't unless we adopt children. But I wish we'd have had a larger family, because larger families, the kids just seem to get along well together. You know, they learn from one another. But that's neither here nor there. The second thing I regret is probably two things. One, not spending more time with the kids. You know, just I spent time with them, but spend more time just having fun. Something they want to do. Just anything. Just having fun with them. And I'd say with the third thing is, I regret is sometimes really over-disciplining on something that really wasn't that important. Maybe it embarrassed me, or they did something that, you know, made me look bad as a pastor or something other, and then I'd over-disciplined, and I really shouldn't have been that harsh. You know. So, and we all have those things that we say. But a good home, folks, just ain't going to happen. You got to be intentional about it. You got to be intentional. A good church ain't just going to happen. We got to be intentional about it. Going to heaven ain't going to just happen either. You got to be intentional about making Jesus the Lord of your life. Yeah, right. Make your house a home. That one day your kids, whenever they hear the word home, they'll have a good memory. Good thoughts about grandma and grandpa. Good thoughts about mama and daddy. Good thoughts, you know. Maybe it hadn't been good up to date so far, but it can start being better today if you're intentional about it. And you say, "I'm going to make our house a home." With God's help, you will. Without God's help, you just have a house. We want to have a time of prayer now for The students, I want to ask the students to come forward, and if your parents or your grandparents are with you, for them to stand with you, would you please just come up here to the front and stand? And don't be shy. It's our privilege and actually our responsibility to pray for you. And elders, I want to ask our elders to come up, Pam and I, and Pastor Miguel and Betsy. And could you give us a little soft music in the background up there, Eric? That'd be nice. And first, I want to pray for you generally, and then we're just going to go around and just lay our hands on your shoulder and just pray over each one of you, just a blessing. And if sometimes people, God speaks through people with what's called a prophecy. A prophecy is just inspired words where God is speaking through that person's voice something you need to hear. And when that happens, you know if that's from God or not, because your spirit picks up on it. You say, you know what? That man or that woman may not know what they were saying, but I know God was talking to me through them. I heard God speaking to me whenever they spoke. And so if that happens, just receive that as a blessing, extra blessing. And so let's just, elders and staff, let's just extend our hands toward these precious people. And church family, you're a vital part of this. We bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus. You are here for such a time as this. The Lord bless you. The Lord put His blessing upon your life that so that everyone who looks at you will say, you're blessed. Your marriage is blessed. Your health is blessed. Your children are blessed. Your grandchildren are blessed. Your finances will be blessed. They'll be what you need to accomplish what needs to be done. A hedge of protection around you. Evil may happen all around you, but there's a special hedge of protection around you because you're blessed of the Lord, and we bless you. And God has given us the power and authority to do that now. And we just bless you with the love of God, who loves you unconditionally, and He wants to increase your life and give you life abundantly because He loves you. So receive by faith the blessing of the Lord. Just receive it right now. Now you just stay right there where you are, and elders, you just gather around and lay hands on anybody you feel like God wants you to lay your hands on. And encourage and speak blessing to them now in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope that today's message has made an impact on your life and has helped you move closer to the heart of the Father. For more Grace Tabernacle resources, or if you desire further counseling or prayer, please feel free to contact us at 352-748-3255 or visit us on the web at gracetab.org. Have a blessed day.